Hello, friends. Thank you so much for listening to the Hope Canteen podcast, where we look at one of the readings for the upcoming Sunday for insight for our walk with Christ. This is our 24th episode. My name is Steve London, pastor at St. Thomas, and I'm joined as always by Stephanie London and Michael Rolfe. I'm wondering how you all are today.
You're fine with me, about the same. Nothing much has changed. We're carrying on and doing the best we can.
Yeah, same thing here. Just keeping people educated and fed and driven around.
By educated, I think she means our kids.
Yeah. Not referring to all of you, dear listeners.
No. We're definitely not driving you around. You know, maybe that is it. We get to the point where things just seem to be kind of normal and not much changes, just trying to juggle everything we've got. Anyway, today on our podcast, we're looking at one of the Bible's difficult readings. It is the parable of the tenants. If you wish to read it ahead before we talk about it, you can pause the podcast here and look up Matthew chapter 21, verses 33 to 45. This is a parable of Jesus, and remember that a parable is a story told to make a spiritual point. He goes back to the owner of a vineyard, but this time the owner of the vineyard isn't around. He's rented the vineyard to farmers and moved away. At harvest time, the owner sends his servant to collect the rent. But the farmers beat the servant, refusing to pay the rent. The owner does this again and again, but always the same violent result. Finally, he sends his son. He assumes they will respect his son. But the farmers say, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him and killed him. And Jesus asked the people listening to the parable, "What would the owner of the vineyard do?" The people listening reply, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give them the produce at the harvest time." Jesus then quotes two Old Testament passages about the stone that the builders reject and the stone that crushes the one who falls on it. The Pharisees and the chief priests know that he is talking about them, so they start to look for a way to arrest him. So what is this parable all about? Well, let's bring in Michael and Stephanie and let's talk about it.
One of the things about this parable is it has to be understood in its historical context. It's tempting to try to say that Jesus is talking about all the people, you know, that they're all going to be punished in some way or another. No, that's not what's happening here. This is the second of three parables that Jesus tells. We had one last week, and we'll get another one next week. And in each case, he's challenging the authorities of the Jewish people, the scribes and the Pharisees. He's challenging them because they're the ones who are failing to pick up the message and do what has to be done. I look at this, and it's partway through Matthew's gospel. It's getting on in Matthew's account of Jesus, the life of Jesus, what Jesus was doing in those 3 years. It's almost as though his frustration level is growing. And so he's speaking out. Interestingly, I think the people in their response to him and his questioning are also getting kind of irritated and are picking up on some of the challenge that they're facing because of these powerful people who just aren't listening to them.
I agree with you, Michael, very much about the need for the context. You're absolutely right there. This is actually a very pivotal point in Jesus' ministry. It's right after Palm Sunday. And there's always that interesting question why the crowds move from cheering on Jesus in Palm Sunday to his complete abandonment by Good Friday. And the story is that between these two periods, Jesus does some amazing things that actually do irritate a lot of people. He overturns tables, he brings judgment on the temple, and he gets into these fierce debates with the Pharisees. And so this is one of these parables, one of these conversations that gets him into a lot of trouble that is going to end badly for him by Good Friday.
I find it interesting with this parable that they actually understand what it's about right away. Like, there's so many times where Jesus says things And people have to come to him afterward and ask him, what did that mean? Or, you know, they heard, but they didn't understand. But in this one, the Pharisees perceive that he's speaking about them. So there's no hidden meaning at all here for them. They know that they're on the wrong side of this story.
Perhaps he was speaking very clearly to them. Maybe they have sort of spies or lookouts present in the crowd, and they're trying to catch him. They're trying to get him into trouble. And so perhaps he speaks sort of over the heads of the crowd, right at those who are lingering on the periphery, because these are the ones he wants to get at.
Yeah, it's definitely the leaders of the people who are the target here, that they're the ones who have been irresponsible. They're the ones who have assumed that the fruit of this vineyard is for them. And it seems that they've completely forgotten that they're actually just the caretakers, and that the owner, this is his, this is what is owed to him. Yeah, that it's not theirs to keep.
Stephanie, I think that's an amazing point. They've actually forgotten the purpose of why they are in the position that they're doing. I think in this parable, Jesus is doing what the prophets of the Old Testament have done. I can't help but think of the famous passage in Ezekiel 34, when the Lord is speaking to the leadership of Israel at that time and reminding them that they have actually forgotten what it means to be a shepherd. He says through Ezekiel, "You do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak. You have not healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally." And so the rest of the chapter in Ezekiel is about replacing them with the shepherd who will care for the sheep, the one who will follow David. And so I think Jesus is saying this same thing hundreds of years later, but the same message that Ezekiel gave, Jesus is giving them now. They have forgotten their role. Stephanie, I think you're right in saying that.
Yeah, and I guess just to follow up on that, if they know that they're the ones that are doing the wrong thing in this parable, they actually are going to end up by the end of this week doing exactly what Jesus had said they're going to do. They are actually going to take the son and kill him. So they haven't learned at all from what Jesus is teaching them, I guess.
No, it's interesting. There is a prediction in this parable that he knows what's going to happen, that they will take the son, the heir, and they will kill him and put him to death.
The other thing about the son is that, you know, the owner of the vineyard sends these servants, and it ends badly for all of them. And then he decides to send his son. I always find that interesting how he says that, saying they'll respect my son. And I guess the natural human thing would be, if these people have killed and beat up his servants, why not just send an armed rebellion to squash them, or an army in to squash them? Why not just deal with it right away? Instead, he sends, in a sense, this gesture of utterly vulnerable goodwill by sending his son to try to repair something. And of course, it doesn't end well for the son either. But there's a different way of dealing with this conflict that the owner is offering, as opposed to the violence that the tenants are walking through.
I was going to say that one of the commentators notes that the fact that the landowner, that the people are given more opportunities to set things right. They mess up the first time. They get another chance. God perseveres in trying to move them towards the justice that is part of God's plan. And yet they fail. They just don't respond.
Yeah, that's a good point. Just how often he keeps trying. That he doesn't give up on them.
One of the things that I always appreciate about biblical texts is how imagery keeps getting woven through. And so talking about what you just said, Michael, in a different way, we're coming back to the vineyard image. I don't know if you remember when we had the podcast from a few weeks ago, the owner of the vineyard who was hiring workers, but we had mentioned then that this vineyard image is an Old Testament image to talk about Israel. And one of the things about the vineyard is that it was meant to produce fruit. And so the rent that the vineyard owner is going to get is meant to be the fruit. And this is what they're refusing to give. They're refusing to give the fruit. And this is an image for Jesus again and again. He keeps talking about this, that by your fruit you shall know them. We talk later in Paul, we talk about the fruits of the Spirit. And the idea is that this relationship with God, this calling by God, is meant to bring blessing into the world. It was the whole point of Israel to bring this blessing. But going back to what Stephanie said earlier, they had forgotten that this was the purpose. It wasn't for their own well-being. It wasn't for their own aggrandizement, but it was to produce this fruit.
Yeah, I like that. And I guess I would add also that the good fruit comes from the vineyard being taken care of and tended well. Mm-hmm. So it's something that was the entire purpose of those tenants, to produce good fruit. They completely lost the plot.
Another point that's rather interesting, one of the writers picked this up, that the landlord isn't there. He disappears. He goes off to another country and leaves it to the tenants to exercise wise stewardship and to do what is right on the land. Some might suggest that God is absent, but that's not the case. God simply steps back and gives them room to make their own mistakes or to do what is right.
I really like that, Michael. I think that's exactly right. The point is probably less his absence, but more that, and I appreciate your pointing this out, that the way that God works is that he gives it to us, the farmers, I suppose. I mean, if we extrapolate, that's taking it out of the historical context, like you said, we shouldn't do, Michael, but
okay.
If I do extrapolate, there is a principle here, perhaps, that God does work through us. He gives the vineyard, the world, to us to steward and to do wisely. So maybe that's a good place to end this podcast. As always, we look to this reading and see if there's some wisdom that we can take that will help us to walk this path as we're walking this time of COVID or just through our Christian lives. What insight can we take from this? I was wondering if any of you pondered that this week, what we might be able to take from this passage.
Well, I found this sobering as a leader in the church. I guess first that Jesus is speaking this against people who had aligned themselves too closely with Rome and, you know, the religious authorities who had started doing things for their own interests. And I guess it's sobering because it reminds me that an institution, a religious institution, can get completely off track while at the same time thinking vehemently that they're 100% in the right. It's a caution for me, like I said, as a leader in the church, I may think I'm completely right, but it's entirely possible that I've got it completely wrong. How do I stay tending the fruit that God wants? And how do I take care of the responsibilities God has given me in a way that actually honor the real owner of the vineyard?
It's a reminder, and maybe I'm just starting to write my own parable or something, but it's a reminder that God doesn't give up on us. God gives us the opportunity to make mistakes, and God understands and is always there for us somehow, even though perhaps standing back watching us. I like that image of God. I feel very comfortable with that. I can mess up, but and God will still love me. And that's the important thing here.
I think going to that part of God caring, I think that is very much what I take from this. I apply the Ezekiel because that just what came up to my mind. But going back to what Stephanie said as well, that idea not to forget what it is we're about. Taking care of the flock, strengthening the weak, healing the sick, binding up the injured, seeking those who are lost. God cares about the fact that we bear this fruit, looking out for the marginal and the people who are struggling. And I may not always get that right, but I hope I don't forget what it is God has called me to do and to be. So this is a bit sobering, but
important to hear as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, all these things are important to hear.
And there'll be more like it next week.
Stay tuned.
And we'll be here to talk about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We really enjoy making these podcasts. We'd love to hear what you think about it. You can either put it in the comments below the podcast on our website, or you can send me an email at revstevelondon@gmail.com. Until next week, we will talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.